All right, Galatians chapter 6. What a great book. What a marvelous book. You know, it's amazing how God's Word speaks to all kinds of things. But he begins by saying, the Apostle Paul, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love that's unchanging and steady. Father, we thank you this morning that you've given us the health to be able to be here. Lord, I know that there are many this morning who would love to be in your house in this place at this time, but their physical bodies do not allow them to be here. So, Father, there's many, many things we are thankful for this morning, but most of all, it's for your love for us in Christ. Father, help us to show that love to each other. Help us to be those burden bearers for each other. Father, as we look at the scripture this morning, pray, Father, that you would enliven our hearts unto you. Help us to see your truth as you operate and as your heart is. Lord, even this morning, decisions need to be made openly, publicly. Pray they'll be done so to honor Jesus, for it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. Well, some years ago, there was a popular song. I'm going to start out this morning with a song, end with a song. So if you're a music person, you'll say, oh, boy, right down my path. Don't know if you like either one. Doesn't make any difference. To me, they speak to me today. This was a popular song. Matter of fact, the other one's a popular one, but it's a gospel song. But this one isn't. But it is a popular song that was contemporary, I think, when I was a teenager, young person, something like that. The words go like this. The road is long, with many a winding turn, that leads us to who knows where, who knows when. But I'm strong enough to carry him. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. We probably need a little music and make it easier to read. So on we go, he says. His welfare is my concern. No burden is he to bear. We'll get there, for I know he would not encumber me. If I'm laden at all, I'm laden with sadness, that everyone's heart isn't filled with the gladness of love for one another. It's a long, long road from which there's no return. While we're on the way to there, why not share? He ain't heavy. He's my brother. Well, in Galatians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul begins by using that word, brethren. If we go and look in our concordance and dictionaries, as I did, because I don't know how many times these are used, but I looked it up. Brethren is used 530 times in the New Testament. The word brother is used 350 times. The word sister or sisters is used 115 times. And all these terms are terms of endearment and love. By using these words, brothers and sisters, the early church was acknowledging God's grace in forgiveness of sin in someone's life. These are those, they were saying, who have come to Christ. Their sins have been forgiven, and now they are part of God's great forever family. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. Romans 8 and 16 says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Not too long ago, I read a story about a mother who was drowning, frantically trying to save her 4-year-old daughter, who subsequently drowned also. When the police arrived, they asked, what happened? With that, one man stepped forward and said, officer, I caught it all on tape. Well, just the other day, I saw another news clip like that in the news. This time, it was two men running into a burning car. Maybe you saw it. And they rescued a little child out of this burning inferno. There were all kinds of folks there. But these guys rushed right in. Which would you rather have happened to you? Someone take a picture and say, boy, I got it all. or someone rush in to that burning house or whatever it might be. This was a car and say, well, Paul said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. No, if a man be overtaken in a fault, in sin, they've fallen into the devil's snare. Ye which are spiritual, my paraphrase of that would be, you who are still standing. They've fallen, you're standing. Restore such a one as that. Well, what does the Bible say we should do when a brother or sister does get ensnared in sin? First of all, note here in this passage, it says our first job is to rush into the inferno. Our first job is to rescue such a one as that. The word rescue is also the very same word that's used over in Matthew chapter 4, verse 21. Jesus says, going on from thence, he, Jesus, saw the other two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, here's our word, mending their nets. They were restoring their nets. You see, their nets had gotten torn. I don't know if you've ever done any fishing like that with a net, but you certainly probably, if you've ever done any fishing, when you've cast out, you've got entangled someplace. Sometimes, you know, you're standing on the bank and you go like this and whoop, it's up there in the tree. You know, you forgot. Yeah. You forgot about that. Or sometimes you throw out and bringing that little a lure or whatever it is, bobber and a hook in, and it gets stuck on something. You didn't see that twig. You didn't see that obstacle under the water, and you've drug your hook right into it, and you got it snared there. In Florida, they do use cast nets. Most of the time, they use a cast net to catch bait. But if you've never done that, that's a fun thing. You take this net and you fold it up properly, like kind of like a parachute, and you put it in your mouth, this part, in your mouth. And you take the strings, and then you begin to take that, and you throw it, and you better open your mouth, or your teeth will go with it, out, and it makes a circle, and then there's little weights, and there's minnows and things like that, and you catch it. And here again, my little brother-in-law used to do that. And every now and then, you know, we would throw it and actually catch a minnow. But every now and then, we would throw it and we would snag up on something. Well, the net costs something. You just didn't take a knife and cut it off and lay if it lay. You waited out there. And you tried to untangle it from whatever entanglement it was in. Well, sin is an entanglement. Sin tears at our lives. It breaks holes in the nets. And when these holes get broken, when these entanglements come, someone has to untangle them or someone has to repair those nets. It's a common thing. It's a common thing. Did you see the other day where this 7-year-old boy was driving a white car with the police chasing him? It probably caught my attention for two reasons. One, it was they had it all on tape, and you know, this car he's driving is doing a pretty good job, actually. Parks it and then jumps out. When he jumps out, he's not even as high as the door. You know, he takes off. And, of course, then they told us the reason why he had taken the car is that he didn't want to go to church that day. So I thought to myself, better keep my keys in my pocket. You know, my grandchildren, that wouldn't surprise me. So, but I did notice that they went on to say that he had been grounded for 4 days. And I thought to myself, you know, that's loving correction. Something has to happen. He can't be driving the car down the street. But you've also heard in recent days, they arrested a couple of children that were under 10 years old. They put them in handcuffs and took them to the police station. Whatever the infraction was, I thought to myself, man, that's way overboard. Somebody ought to pick them up by the nape of their neck, took them to their dad or their mom or something, and said, hey. But I recount that story because I think that God is like this father with a 7-year-old child who gets in the car and runs off. He corrects, but he corrects properly. His measurement of correction fits the crime. His measurement of what he does is appropriate to the behavior. Sometimes we're very severe. I remember that Todd and his nephew, Shane, one time we were in Florida, and we were all on the beach and having a picnic, and there was, kids running every which way and all that kind of stuff. And so it was hard to keep an eye on them, but you told them certain things. Don't go here, don't do that, whatever. And, of course, these were teenagers. And so we expected a little bit more responsibility from them than we had expected from the smaller children. So we began to pick up stuff, get ready to go home, and we couldn't find Todd and we couldn't find Shane. So we walked from the pier down towards the Air Force property, which was several miles, probably 10. And we walked all the way down there and all the way back. And my wife and I were thinking by the time we get back, surely they'll be there. We were a little upset, that we'd walked all the way down. But they weren't there when we came back. So then we walked this way towards Destin, which was another pretty good little walk. We didn't walk all the way to Destin, but we walked a long ways down. Couldn't find them. Came back. They still weren't there. Well, now we had walked just about as far as you could walk. Well, it was as far as you could walk this way. And we'd walked this way, and we were pretty tired. And not only were you getting a little physically tired, but you were thinking about all the things that could be happening. Were they out there in the Gulf? Did they swim out too far? Did the tide change? Was there a rip tide? You start thinking about all those kinds of things. And so not only are you getting a little bit exhausted and those kind of things, but you're starting to think about all these things that could possibly go wrong. And you're thinking to yourself, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? All those kinds of things. Well, as we were standing there thinking about all this thing, here they came. Anything left to eat? Well, the nonchalance which they walked up with didn't help the situation. So now I was over the fear part. And another emotion began to take control. The anger part. Where have you guys been? Well, they started to tell us something. But then we informed them that we'd walked all the way down to the reservation this way. And all the way to Destin that way. And we could not find them. So we'd eliminated a lot of possibilities. So then they had to tell us the truth. They were actually only a few hundred yards down the beach from us. But they had went into the Holiday Inn and went swimming in the swimming pool. So we had walked by them up and back and up and back, up and back. Well, that didn't do me any good. The explanation made it worse as far as I was concerned. If they would have said a shark grabbed me, ate my leg off or something, I would have been a little bit more receptive. So I told them, get in the car. I won't hear another word out of it. And when we get home, I want to switch. Now, I never used a switch. And I never did this either after. But because normally when something like I just use the boom, You either got a spanking, you got something, whatever it was right there. But I was trying to be more controlled, which wasn't good for me. Anyway, so we got to the house, they got a switch, and I gave them a switch in. And I'll never do it again. Because the correction far outweighed the behavior. And even though I apologize. Even though I said that many times over the years, and I never took a switch off a tree again, because I can't control that. It would be better for me to correct right now than to let it simmer and boil and get more angry and more angry. See, that was incorrect for me to do what I did for their behavior. But God always acts correctly. He repairs the nets. Bear ye one another's burdens, Paul goes on to say there, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Do you understand that verse? We are supposed to repair the net, restore that one, and then we are to bear one another's burdens. And in so doing, this is remarkable. In so doing, then we do what? We fulfill the law of Christ. You see, Jesus gives us the what not to do as well. Over in Matthew 23 and verse 4, it says, "For they, the Pharisees, bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, hard to carry, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move with them one of their fingers." I'm sure that that's where we get that saying, they won't even lift a finger. Well, you see, God doesn't want it caught on tape. God wants us to plunge in. He wants us to be restorers. He'll be the judge. When someone is fallen, do not kick them when they're down or make the matter even worse by inappropriate correction. But what are we supposed to do? Lift them up. The scripture says unequivocally restore. Don't increase their burdens, make them lighter. And here is a job that will bring more heartache, but also will give you more satisfaction than becoming a millionaire 10 times over if you're in the restoration business. When you do this, you see, you make complete the law of Christ. You see, the law that I think Paul, of course, is judging that over against, the law just shows us what's right and wrong. It has a limitation there. The law only shows us what's right, only what's wrong. Have you ever been stopped by a policeman and he just said, "Oh, I just saw you today and pleasant day. Thought I'd just pull you over and say hi to you. I was sitting out here on the side here by the tree or behind the billboard, and I just saw your car and thought I'd stop you, talk to you. It's about lunchtime." Have you ever been stopped like that? Never. They stop you because they think, at least, you're doing something wrong. Most of the time, you are. The law brings condemnation. But Christ has redeemed us, Paul says in Galatians, also the third chapter, from the curse of the law. You see, the law can show us what's right. The law can show us what's wrong. But the law can't change our hearts and put within us a desire not to transgress the law again. The only thing that the law will do is be so severe that you don't want to do that because you're afraid of the penalty. The law can never touch guilt. Never does. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, "Come unto me," Jesus says, "all ye that labor and are heavily laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light." You see, the law of Christ is not easy because it's greasy, slippery, or permissive. It's easy because when we are weak, He is strong. It's easy because when we operate in Christ's Spirit, God Himself, God Almighty, comes to us. And through the Spirit, He rescues us and restores us and produces spiritual fruit in our life. You know, if you've ever experienced the fruit of the Spirit, you are experiencing the Holy Spirit of God working in someone else's life, and you're experiencing the results of that Spirit work. It's a supernatural thing when you understand and experience what real love is. That's God's love. When you understand and experience joy, a real joy, peace, boy, 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 doesn't the whole world need a little peace? We won't get it completely and absolutely until Jesus comes. Long suffering, boy, don't we need a little bit of patience? Gentleness, goodness. And the matter of fact, part of the fruit of the Spirit is faith, isn't it? So we exercise faith, God works in us and builds our faith. Meekness, temperance, self-control. Against such, Paul says, there is no law. No matter how rich or powerful you are, you can't buy any of these things. Yet we want all these things. Well, let me remind you of just one more thing. Brethren, Paul says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering himself thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know, Lamentations has a very interesting verse, chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. It says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Well, I think I heard a song about that too. You know, faithfulness is of God. Sporadic faithfulness is us. God is holy. He's always holy. He's always righteous. But we are incomplete. And you know, it's an amazing thing. That forgiveness is not based upon the magnitude of the sin, but on the magnitude of the forgiver's love. So if you've been forgiven, even in the least way, that's because of God's love. If you've been forgiven in a huge and marvelous and wonderful way, that's because of God's love. Paul says that we should be bearing one another's burdens, fulfilling the law of Christ. Try it sometimes. It's not easy, but it is the right thing to do. All right, here's the last song. It says, weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die, oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. I think this is the chorus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and the precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember, when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus. Fall on Jesus. Fall on Jesus and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus. Cry to Jesus. Cry to Jesus and live. And when the love spills over and the music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus. Dance for Jesus. Dance for Jesus and live. And then finally it says, and with your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye. Then go in peace and laugh on glory's side and fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus. And live. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are unchanging. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that even in the midst of a fallen world, your love is constant. That you work with us is unfailing. And so, Father God, this morning, we've come today to praise your holy name for the magnitude of love wherewith you have loved each one of us. Father God, this morning, enlighten our hearts unto you. Help us to be burden bearers, so in that we might fulfill the law of Christ. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray.